you know, my favorite current event of the day, that 10 years ago today, Ryan Reynolds started filming Deadpool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a shame Jim Schweigert's not here, because Jim Schweigert has no idea about any movies on any pop culture things.
Right.
Absolutely zero.
We've kind of come to that conclusion, haven't we, in conversations with Jim?
Yeah, it's a bad deal. So, let's see. Catherine, it's been a while since we've done this. I guess you got to cue the intro, right?
We got to cue the intro.
Cue the intro. So it seems like it's been a while, but welcome to another edition of Stock Talk. And Catherine and I are happy to welcome Dan Foer, who is the current chair of the American Seed Trade Association, and Andy Levine, the president and CEO for the American Seed Trade Association. We got a lot to talk about, gents. I mean, but really and truly, the reason we wanted to have you on here, you just announced yesterday the opening of registration for the leadership conference in Washington, D.C., and that's going to be a big topic of what we need to talk about today. So, Dan, how about you starting off telling us a little bit about the leadership conference and what you're looking forward to about it?
Oh, thanks a bunch, Todd. And first, I'd like to say happy Ag Week and happy second day of spring. I'm coming to you live from Wisconsin, where we've just had our second fall spring. We actually had about 5 inches of snow in the recent blizzard that came through. So got to get the snow shovel out of the garage and move some heavy snow again here a couple days ago.
Hey, they actually threatened us the other night and said snow would start in 30 minutes in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But they lied. It did not.
Oh, it didn't actually snow there.
It didn't actually snow. It kind of looked like it was going to sleep for a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, we kind of missed that with this podcast. Normally, on conference calls I'm on, we spend the first 3 or 4 minutes talking about the weather, but we dove right in.
We just had tornadoes. We had 9 tornadoes on Friday.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And they're trying to upgrade one of them from an EF4 to an EF5. Is that right, Catherine?
Yes. Yeah.
Thoughts go out to anybody that was affected by the negative weather, and hopefully the worst storms of the season are behind us and we can focus on getting ready for plant 2025. But to your point, Todd, we're super excited about the Leadership Summit this year. The Leadership Summit is actually our summer meeting that we have with the American Seed Trade Association. It's going to be June 8th through 11th in Washington, D.C. And you can probably think of no more interesting time to come to the nation's capital and get the latest and greatest of what's happening, at least on that day or those days when we're having the conference. It'll start Sunday evening of the 8th with a welcome reception. We'll have programming on that Monday that will include ASTA staff members as well as representatives from our government that will come in and give us, again, the current topics and current lay of the land. And then what's really cool about the Leadership Summit and the opportunity that we have, because it is in D.C., is we're going to take the participants on Hill visits to actually do some advocacy work on behalf of the seed industry, which again is just part and parcel of us being in Washington, D.C. If you've never done it before, don't worry. We're going to spend a couple hours Tuesday morning getting everybody up to speed on how that goes, what to expect. And we're really looking forward to great attendance this year. As you said, Todd, we started registration opening yesterday. So registration is now open. And one of the things that we've done with the idea of getting as broad of involvement from the seed industry as possible is we've actually opened up the registration to this meeting for non-ASTA members. So you don't necessarily need to be an ASTA member. If you're a member of your state or regional seed association, you'll find that in the registration process, you can actually select that and you'll get the same rate as an ASTA member for registering for the conference.
I was going to ask if you actually made that official. I know that was being talked about. I think that's a great move because there are a couple of things. There are a lot of people out there who are not members of ASTA. have been in the past. Everybody looks at their economics and makes decisions. But now it's another opportunity for everybody to come be a part of the real government interaction in, you know, making Hill visits and then seeing the real value that ASSA creates. So, I mean, I think that's a tremendous move on y'all's part, and I really do like that. Question, so you're looking and I remember the old days when we called it Storm the Hill, but that kind of went out of favor and
can't use that anymore.
Since January 6th. So now it's the fly-in or Hill visits or whatever. You mentioned that was Tuesday morning was going to be kind of the prep process. When are the actual Hill visits targeted? Are they targeted for Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, both?
The rest of the day Tuesday. The rest of the day Tuesday. Once we get everybody charged up and raring to go, we'll start walking briskly towards the hill and the visits that we have there.
Which is always exciting. Make sure you wear good walking shoes because you're going to be walking a lot and usually very quickly in between meetings.
Yeah, right on. When was your first visit to the Hill, Todd, to do advocacy work? I think it might be interesting for the listeners or viewers to hear about that. And were you nervous or was it piece of cake?
Man, you know, if I'm telling the truth, it was in 1980 and I was 16 years old. I was a FFA member going for the Washington Leadership Conference. My very first visit to Washington. And yeah, when you're 16 and, you know, they're carrying you around the hill to visit all these people, it's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that was classified as advocacy work. Maybe it was just, you know, awe-inspiring. So, you know, I got it. Honestly, I'd been on the Hill several times with Novartis and Syngenta in my previous career. But 2015, I want to say Andy with the was one of the very first meetings that I made as CEO of IBSA. With ASTA, and forget the hotel we were at, but it was a really very impressive agenda that was set up then. I also want to say that was the first year of formation for the Seed First Pack, because I do remember that event as well. So yeah, I nervous when we went in there? Absolutely, because I was terrified. I did not know the issues well enough to talk about them. And, you know, kind of thought that, well, there'll be an ASTA person with us. And there was just us going around making visits like that. But we were prepared. We did have that whole, you know, prep session. And we had some information to hand out and leave behind. And after you went through one or two of them, it really became pretty easy. And now I got to tell you, in this day and age, I certainly have realized that our elected officials put their pants on, whether they're male or female, the same way I do.
Same way.
You know.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It's just a great opportunity to get in. And it is daunting at first, but being able to walk around and talk to your elected officials and the staff that support them through the process is really quite rewarding. And being able to share what you do as a company and the value that we bring to the American agriculture, you know, sector. I mean, nothing happens unless you plant a seed. And it's pretty amazing when you start to talk to them through that caveat of what it means to be able to provide America's farmers the high quality seed that all of our companies do, no matter what products they're producing. And you know, I just use this analogy all the time when I sit down with folks is, if you think about just the Midwest, and what our corn and bean farmers do, wheat and others that are involved there in the rotational, 200 million acres a year. We produce seed for the Midwest at 200 million acres a year. That's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal amount of land. And so really being able to do that on an annual basis and being reviewed by our customers on an annual basis and the quality of that seed is something else. And so that is always one of those good openers, and it opens to people's eyes that, yeah, we're responsible for getting that to America's farmers to be able to plant and harvest. So it's quite a lot of fun, and we do a lot to prep everyone to make sure that they're comfortable with it. You want to come in at a high level. You'll see that we always say this, America is run by a bunch of 23 to 25-year-olds whose staff are representatives and our senators. and being able to make a connection there that you're from their district or you're from their state and you're an expert in this area. If you or your member or senator ever need some information, call us. We've got it for you. So it's quite an experience, and we just hope everyone will take that opportunity to join us.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I totally agree. I think this is a, you know, there are a lot of meetings that go on all the time, and people wane back and forth in between them. But, you know, this has always been a meeting that ASTA has, especially in D.C., that I think is the most important meeting to attend, because if we don't get out there and talk to, you know, our legislators about the issues and about what our position on the issues is. I mean, well, we heard earlier this week at the AgriPulse Summit, you know, a comment made that if we're not telling our story, somebody else is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly that implies that they may not be telling what we want them to tell or what we want our legislators to hear. So this is the opportunity where I hope, and I know we're going to encourage, and both Catherine and I are going to plan on being there, we're going to encourage the breadth of membership and really try to beat the drum so we can get a full house there. And Andy, if we can help make more people than you can actually handle there, I think that's a good thing.
That'd be a good problem to have, Todd, you know, and, and you can pretty much guarantee, especially with the leadership of the current, you know, some of the people in the current cabinet. I mean, they are telling the story about the seed industry, and we don't like it. So we need to tell the counter. We need to tell what's really going on in the ground out there and what we as an industry are doing to make sure that farmers have that high-quality seed. So, you know, it's amazing the stories we hear back when we sit down with the transition team and the new administration about the seed industry, you know, corn and bean crops and our diets and everything else. And, whew, you realize very quickly that a very small part of our population is involved in agriculture, and yeah. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding or advocacy against us, that we've got to make sure that we're out there telling our story.
So this is a year, I mean, obviously everybody's paying attention. There's a lot of waves being made in Washington with the new administration all over the place. I mean, clearly we've got tariff issues that are going to affect farmers full force. I know that for National Ag Day, there was an announcement about aid going out to farmers. Do I recall that was $40
billion? Yeah, I think it was $30 billion that was passed in the last Congress before, before the transition to this one, and they're now implementing that going out the door.
So that announcement was made. Then we've got a farm bill from last year that has still not been passed, still got to be out there. So, I mean, we're talking about a Congress right now that has got a ton of agriculture issues in front of them, which is not really the norm. I mean, there are times that we've gone on the Hill and, you know, I know that some of our advocacy work has been about, you know, phytosanitary issues or, you know, transferring seed in between countries and stuff for breeding purposes and looking at that. But then to also mention there's biotechnology issues that are out there. There's gene editing issues that are out there. All of these come back to, I know, some of the things that are going on with HHS. There's never been a more important time, I think, in my professional career that we are there in force telling our story and trying to make sure that people understand the importance of what we do, not only in ag, but particularly in the seed industry, and what the importance are of being able to grow that good quality seed and have the breeding techniques available for us out there. So, you know, not to be on a soapbox, but holy smokes, I think this is a landmark year to participate with the American Seed Trade, particularly the fly-in and the leadership conference, to be prepared to really advocate on top of those. Andy, what do you think from your position right now, today, okay, and granted, it may change tomorrow, but from your position right now today, what's the hottest button issue that we've got to be on top of? Or that you may have to say there are five, but what is it that your major focus is?
Well, I got to say, Todd, I think the thing that we look at, spend the most time with right now is this whole concept of the tariff and retaliatory tariffs. We realize that in corn and soybeans, a significant amount of the product that is grown is exported. And I don't think there's as high a realization within the administration of that. And it's really tough when two of our major markets, Mexico and Canada, and then thirdly, China, are part of the target for those tariffs. And so they're really shifting around, looking to see what can they do to find alternative markets, where is there going to be some consistency in the demand that they have, and how do they get there to make sure that they have the product that they need in their market without having to deal with those tariffs. So there are daily conversations from the current administration to the president and her team in Mexico, or the prime minister in Canada, or Xi Jinping's administration in China about what President Trump is doing and the direction that he's going. I know it's a strategy for him, but we're not quite sure what that strategy is as he goes forward with it. So how do we make sure that there's not that continued negative impact on our soybean crops and our corn crops? Because you can just imagine what would happen if all of a sudden those countries started to look more at Argentina or at Brazil for their crops. We become secondary or tertiary even in some of that supply, and that ultimately impacts the seed sales of seed in the seed industry. So how do we make sure that we're at the table? And, you know, the Ask the Team, it's an hourly exercise right now, Todd, to make sure that we've got our ear to the ground. We're talking to our colleagues at American Soybean Association, National Corn Growers, Farm Bureau, NFU. What is everyone hearing in this, and how do we communicate the seed message into the overall agriculture and food message that's going forward? So tariffs is a big issue. We could talk about MAHA sometime later in the discussion here, but I think that's one that we've really got to be aware of. You know, April 2nd is Liberation Day, and so that's when the administration looks to put on the retaliatory tariffs. And you can just imagine if those start to layer into the ones that are in there already, everyone's going to start to retaliate back. And so it really truly becomes a trade war.
You know, it's really interesting that you bring up that. I mean, so, you know, I'm kind of taking a position. I kind of understand where the president is trying to go on this. I mean, obviously he's trying to, you know, we talk about free trade and fair trade and everything. And I believe because of where the United States has been versus a lot of our export market customers, we've oftentimes not pushed for the best deal in order to kind of help them out. And now it seems like, at least that's what I would tend to believe. But now, you know, we're trying to reverse that trend, it appears, in everywhere all at once. I think there was a movie about that, another movie. I am a mecca of trivial movie information. But, you know, we're trying to reverse all of that everywhere and make sure that everything is equal and fair to the United States and to our ultimate consumers. And, you know, it is creating a lot of angst. I think that, you know, particularly in soybean areas, I am concerned about soybeans and corn as well. But let me ask you, you know, and this is kind of a little bit of a different thing, and it's particularly the corn market. And, you know, so one of the things that I have really focused on a lot over the last couple of years has been this move towards sustainable aviation fuel as a for instance. And of course, right now, sustainability, climate, those type things are a little out of favor. But Andy, you know, that could be a potential new market for corn farmers and open up a new market if our export markets are collapsed. Do you hear anything or see anything about that that leads you to believe that, you know, some of those innovative energy aspects using, you know, crops for fuel are going to continue forward?
You know, Todd, that is a very interesting area and I think a great opportunity for the corn side of the business. And as we go forward, I think it's going to continue to move forward. I don't know if it'll be at the same pace as the last administration, where we had some incentives and some other things built in policy. On the global level, you see continents like the EU, and you see Australia and other places that are key flight markets that are requiring, you know, over years, the staged phase in of the use of SAF. And so, you know, airlines are not going to be able to just pick, well, we'll just use these airplanes for Europe. And so therefore we'll just rig them for SAF. You got to rig your whole fleet. And so in our discussions with both the oil side of the world and the airline side of the world, they're continuing to move forward. I think the incentives part of it will determine how quickly it goes and then what the policy is with respect to, you know, 45Z and that whole thing with IRS. Where do they go from the administration side? So I believe that it's baked in, but how quickly this happens, does it happen in 10 years or is it 20 years?
Yeah, and honestly, that's kind of a more of a niche thing than some of the big picture things that we're looking
at. We got to find those alternative markets. I mean, ethanol is going to be good for a while. You know, I don't anticipate us going all electric anytime soon, but, you know, we got to figure out this SAF thing so you've got another layer of that alternative opportunity.
No question. Hey, and so as we're looking at, you know, the tariffs and reciprocal tariffs, and we think, I mean, I always think about the export markets. I'm sure everybody does, like we were talking about. Are there dangers directly for seed and transferring seed products back and forth affected by, you know, any of these things? In particularly, I think about counter-season seed production that goes on. Or are those exempted from these type of areas?
No, they're all impacted. And as we've talked with the administration and had our one-on-ones with them, you know, a company here in the U.S. sends some, you know, canola seed to Canada to get multiplied and then brings it back for planting in the northern tier there. You're paying a tariff going into Canada from the Canadians and you're paying a tariff to bring your progeny back. So, you know, parents go to Canada and the progeny comes back. So you're paying almost a double tariff back and forth. Yeah. Same with Mexico, if we're dealing with our vegetable seed side of it, grass seed, the same, you know, as you know, in the western plains of Canada, we multiply a lot of grass seed that goes not only back, comes back to the U.S., but goes global. The other issue, Todd, in this is I think there's a focus, or we know there's a focus number of countries that they're going to go after on tariffs and retaliatory tariffs. We think it's somewhere in that range of 10, but we're not sure how many overall. And so is Chile and Argentina in there where we do our counter seasonal? Is, you know, Chile, we do a lot of vegetable seed production as well, you know. So all of those places, we're not sure, and we're doing everything we can to try to find out those targets, but it's pretty interesting process right now. So as I said, it's a day-to-day issue, trying to be in every meeting we can and try to get in front of everyone that we find out is involved in the process to find out, okay, where's your priority today, and how do we help talk to you about what it does to the seed industry?
Got it. So, Dan, I'm going to pop back over to you. So, with all of those issues that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that's a ton of them. Where and we've got help. We have people in the administration that know ag and know seed companies. I think about Doug Burgum at Interior. You know, he's actually family with one of our members at Proceed, Keith Peltier. We have people that know our business and can help us advocate that direction. And I know, Andy, y'all are working closely with Secretary Rollins at USDA. But I guess, Dan, at this point, where do you see the biggest impact that we can really have when we're going in there? I mean, I know I personally have got a relationship with John Bozeman, who is, the chair of ag on the Senate side now. And we have a lot of members out there that have got close ties with their senators and congressmen and congresswomen out there. So what is the impact that you think that we can have?
Yeah, great question, Todd. And, you know, you mentioned the AgriPulse Summit that three of the four of us on this call were at Monday of this week in D.C.
You missed it, Catherine.
I did.
it was pretty awesome. But one of the stats that I recall that I thought was very insightful was of the 435 members of the House and the 100 senators, over half of them have never voted on a farm bill. So as you said, Todd, yes, there are friends in the administration and on the Hill, but there's a lot of folks that frankly have little to no idea of, ag in general, the seed industry in particular. And the June meeting I view as one piece of a more prolonged and deliberate effort that we need as the Independent Seed Association, as well as the American Seed Trade Association, to help tell our story, as Andy said earlier. And I would say definitely in June, we'd love to have, what Andy and I have been talking about, a whole of industry effort. So it's even beyond corn and soy. It's all the other seed crops that that we need to make sure that we're advocating for, because we are the very foundation of the food system. But beyond coming to DC in June, we're big advocates of ensuring that seed company members, again, whether they're part of ASTA, part of IPSA, or one of the regional associations, take opportunities to bring representatives to their places of business and actually show and tell what we're doing, so that that helps tell the story. And when those issues pop up in legislation or even in discussions, that our representatives can phone a friend, so to speak, and get the real deal versus what the hearsay or what the antis might be trying to plug, if that makes sense.
And that's probably one of the big pieces that I think of, in my experience. Hey, Andy, you mentioned that, the world's run by 20-somethings, at least the U.S. world is run by 20-somethings, who are all the staffers that we sit down with a lot of times. But becoming a resource to them, a known resource, if that is something that I think is incredibly valuable, so that if they have a concern or they have a question, they pick up the phone and say, I can call this person. I've been to their place. I understand they will have an opinion. I need to know what they think. That's really part of our objective too, is becoming that resource, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate objective, Todd. I mean, you think about it. We all of the members throughout the Midwest, throughout the U.S., the IPSA members, not only do you become that resource, but you realize that you grew up with these people. Your kids go to school together, they play ball together, you all go to church together. Inviting them into your operation, to us, we have that ultimate easy in, I believe. Most everyone does some type of a demonstration in August. The Congress is out of session in August. If any of you ever been to the swamp here in D.C., August is a miserable time. It is hot, humid, and it rains every day, and they go home. And so it's a perfect opportunity to invite them to come out and see your operation, see what you do, but also talk to your customers who happen to be their voters. And so it's a great connection, and it doesn't require a lot more. I like to say advocacy is a part of the leadership that we seek to train. And so taking that time to invite, whether it's the district director or the state director for the senator and the senator or representative to your demonstration days or your grower days, whatever you call those, is key. They'll come, or they'll send someone, because they know the voters are there, and they get an opportunity to see that what you do, and you become that expert that they go to. But really, if you think about it, some of your employees may have grown up with them. They know them, either directly or distantly. And it really creates that relationship that is long term. And I like to think of it like the crops that we grow. It's a cultivation process, and it's ongoing that we have to do it. But it really pays dividends in the end. As Dan said, you become the expert that they call when they have a seed issue.
Well, I know that we've had a lot of students from the University of Arkansas that have wound up on the Hill in a lot of different spaces over the last 4 or 5 years. And so knowing them and knowing their friends and having, spoken to their classes and things of that nature, it helps when I get to go into these offices. I have people there that know who I am and have actually, been to our place. So that's always a cool factor. And especially, Andy, to your point, we've got an employee now that is now gone to work for my congressman. So it's real people that they can remember to rely on, which is important. But what I hear you saying is that the fly-in is really kind of the start of the conversation, so to speak. We go in, we get to be vocal about our issues, but the continuation happens back home, where we need to make sure that we're reaching out to our congressional office people, not just the members, but the office people as well, for field days and for different events, and pulling them in so that we can actually show them the things that we talk about as well.
Yeah, it really is. It's as I said, it's a cultivation process that's continual. You know, and when you have new products, you want to be able to show them that. You want to be able to talk to them about breeding techniques or new biotech traits or, you know, seed treatments. All of those things that are part of your portfolio, they all have questions on. And we do a lot up here on pesticides and seed treatments, or we do a lot on biologicals. All of those are things that they want to be able to relate back to. And when they know they can call somebody because they saw it last August in Iowa, that's ideal for everyone. And what we try to do here is whenever we meet with a representative, we call back to a member in their district and say, hey, we just met with so-and-so. Can you send them a quick thank you email? So they make that connection back to the district and back to the industry.
Yeah, I think one thing I would add to this, and recognizing that the June Leadership Summit is obviously a great opportunity to come in and learn how to advocate. If anybody watching the podcast or listening to it, you know, can't make it to a leadership summit, I would say that shouldn't preclude you from inviting a representative to your place of business. Mm-hmm. And the American Sea Trade Association, the ASTA staff is happy to help with, you know, setting that up and walking through what a successful visit would look like. And just like we talked about with, you know, advocating on the Hill, it doesn't need to be scary. And I actually, in my last job, invited our House district rep to our place of business. And I was a little nervous, honestly, you know, before they came, but it was really low key, very personable and engaging. I mean, these people don't get elected for being, you know, introverted, unlikable people, right? So I think if you consider that, well, Todd may take issue with a few of the folks that might have got elected, but it's really a pretty low key. I saw you look a little bit strange there. But again, even if you can't make it to a leadership summit, and Andy and I and the staff have been working on, you know, a map of engagement and checking with folks, even again, if you're not an ASTA member, to just work on what's arguably the most important thing we can do to make sure that company members, as well as the farmers that we serve, continue to have freedom to operate and innovation on their farms.
Now, and look, I think that's incredibly important. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking ahead. I've been really fortunate that I have a good friend who has been the government affairs person at the University of Arkansas, is now retired. But every year he had everybody from all the congressional delegations into the state for an ag tour, invited me in to be a part of it. And I mean, there was more than once I was sitting in front of a hot grill. My job was to cook. And, but of course, when you feed people like that, they remember it. So that's always important. But, you know, think about things of that nature. And, you know, Andy, just as a reminder to you, and I'm sure you've already got this on your calendar, this year, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture is coming to Northwest Arkansas for their big annual meeting, which, we're already engaged in from that standpoint with our state Secretary of Agriculture. So, Ted McKinney's coming in. But again, those are all those types of opportunities, which even though that's not on the federal piece, to be able to help, build awareness all the way around.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is important that we note, and y'all kind of said it, but I want to be very forthright about this. This is the type of event, this fly-in, that really and truly only ASTA has the power to pull off. And it does take a lot of concentration, a lot of things. And I know that sometimes, you know, having the diversity of seed crops, and of course, IPSA's, you know, lucky from the standpoint that we really focus on corn and soy and a couple of other row crops, but I mean, mm-hmm. our focus is corn and soybeans. But when we talk about the diversity of the entire seed industry from, you know, and I know y'all like to say from alfalfa to zucchini, Andy, when we talk about that diversity, this is an issue for everybody. This is not, you know, one segment. The stuff we're talking about affects the entire industry, and, you know, that's something that only ASTA can really address with power and pull all divergent groups together. So, I mean, can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, that's I'm not misreading that. That's the type of thing that, you know, ASTA takes the lead on always.
Well, yeah, Todd, you're exactly right. And if you think about it, a lot of the issues that we deal with, and whether it's in corn and beans or whether it's, you know, fruits and vegetables or forages and grasses, they are very similar. I mean, we have seed treatment issues in California on vegetables and vegetable seed and neonics. And so we have it in the Midwest. So all of those things matter. We've got to be able to move seed globally for research and development, whether it's corn and beans or whether it's something else, or some other crop. And so being able to talk to people about the importance of the seed sector and what our companies do to get to that research and development and bringing varieties to market on a regular basis that deal with pest and disease through the breeding process is just invaluable. And we can relate things back. You know, in a lot of cases, it's sometimes easier to relate to a cherry tomato than it is to a soybean, because people see a cherry tomato, they buy that. They don't, unless they're buying edamame, they don't buy soybeans in the grocery store. And unless you live in, you know, the Midwest, you probably have never seen a soybean or a corn plant, you know, and so you don't, it's hard for them to relate to it. But when we're talking about all crops, it's a good way for us to relate to it using something like the grass in the front yard or lettuce or tomatoes. But then we start to talk about the Midwest and the importance of it and what corn and beans bring to our economy and to agriculture and the variety of products that come out of those crops. It's incredible, and their eyes really open up and they can relate to it. But being able to talk about all of the crops that come from seed really help people understand how important the seed industry is, Todd. And you hit it right on the head. That diversity is absolutely key when we go in and talk to, you know, population. You got to look at it. So there's a lot of vegetables grown in California and Florida and New York. You know, we go in and a lot of times with the dairy industry. We talk about forages and grasses. You know, that really benefits the industry overall in the seed side. So it's a great opportunity. And when you look at it, the diversity of the seed industry is so rich, and being able to talk about it, whether you're, you know, supplying corn and soybean seeds and you can go in there with a vegetable seed person, that really is powerful on Capitol Hill or in the administration.
And I got to tell you, you nailed something that I think that we can't ever let get lost. I mean, when we're talking about vegetable seeds and neonics, you know, they're the tip of the spear where neonics are going to have issues. And neonics start having issues in New York and California, it's not going to be long before they're sitting right there in the Midwest. And how important are neonics, you know, in soybean, you know, planting soybeans for farmers and then also for corn. So, I mean, it's all connected and something that, you know, is going to affect every one of us. Well, guys, I really appreciate y'all jumping on this morning. I know y'all got some other things going on. I think this is really important to get prepared for. We're going to certainly bang the drum from our standpoint. I always keep in mind when we start talking about advocacy, and, you know, I meant to mention this earlier, but I've seen, and I'm going to call her out specifically, one of the most effective advocates I have seen was Chris Cornelius of Cornelius Seed. We sat in and had a chance to sit down with Secretary Vilsack a couple of years ago, and we were talking through issues, and Chris kind of interrupted everybody, pulled out a picture, a 5x7 picture of her grandkids, and put that in front of the Secretary. This is why we are worried about what we're worried about. You know, we're fifth generation, and we want to make sure that it goes to the next generation. And I could tell all over his face that that meant everything to him. Now, you know, effective advocacy works a lot of different ways, but I mean, it is about the business. It is about the personal continuation of what we've got going on. So anyway,
making that connection.
Great note. Anyway, so that's it for this edition of Stock Talk. Andy Levine, Dan Foer, thank you for being here. And Catherine, we'll see you next time.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Kat.